Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your savings are with Zurich. Visit Zurich.ie to find out more.
Now, the killing of Sarah Everard in London has unleashed a wave of anger and frustration over violence against women. The 33-year-old went missing while walking home from a friend's house on March the 3rd. Her body was later found in Woodland in Kent. As you know, a police officer, Wayne Cousins, has been charged with her kidnap and murder. The Metropolitan Police is facing a review and harsh criticism of its handling of a vigil held in memory of Sarah Everard at Clapham Common on Saturday evening, at which a number of arrests of women were made. Now a group here, ROSA, a socialist feminist organisation, is planning a number of protests in Dublin and other cities for tomorrow and Thursday. One of the organisers of the protests is Ruth Coppinger, former Solidarity TD, and she joins me now. You're very welcome to the programme, Ruth. Good to talk to you again. Can you tell me exactly what is being planned?
Well, what's planned are some socially distanced standouts in at the Spire tomorrow at 12, in Belfast tomorrow at 6, and in some other cities on Thursday in Cork, Limerick and Galway. And the reason for it is obviously sorrow and anger at the killing of a woman in her prime. Mm-hmm. But what this is also bringing out is the way in which so many women's lives revolve around and are restricted because of fear of assault, attack or harassment on the street. And as a result of that, we feel it's time to increase the political pressure for action on gender violence, because this has grown during the pandemic. It hasn't actually receded. The number of calls, for example, to police for gender violence that's taken place in homes because women are stuck in lockdown has shot up in Ireland and every single country in the world. It's been called the shadow pandemic by the UN, but yet there is no action on this issue, despite it being such an important issue. 97% of young people in Britain have been sexually harassed. We must use their figures because the Irish government doesn't really do figures. 80% of those were in public places. And one of the person that answered the survey said that since the age of 11, she's had to alter the route home that she takes from school to avoid being sexually harassed.
Yeah.
Now, that gives you an idea of how women's lives are being restricted by fear of violence.
Yeah. And as you say, you're looking at the figures in the UK. Do you think if we did have figures to hand here that they'd be comparable in any way? Because what struck me over the last week or so, in light of the Sarah Everard case, Ruth, are the amount of women in Ireland coming forward, and we had them on this programme last Friday evening as well, coming forward and saying, this is what I do, this is how I change my route home, or my way to work, or this is how I hold keys, this is how I'm afraid when I see a man behind me or whatever. Do you think those figures are comparable to the UK?
Absolutely. USI did a survey recently with academics in NUIG, and the figures were shocking for on-campus sexual assault and harassment. I think it was something like a third of women and non-binary people experienced non-consensual sex in college. That's rape, in effect. Half of all first years have been sexually harassed. This is a huge, huge problem. Probably getting worse because we have a society where objectification, you know, macho culture, and also, it has to be said, victim blaming is being used. You can't have escaped anybody's attention the way that the police in London told women not to go out onto the streets following this.
Mm.
It was women who were told to restrict their movements. Nothing was said about men who may attack them. And I think that now what we're seeing unleashed is people revealing just how much, I think, if anything, this is educational for the whole of society. And it does follow a global movement that we're having against gender-based violence. Like in Australia, there's protests taking place throughout Australia today against sexual harassment, everywhere from Canberra to Sydney to Melbourne. And also, we've had a global movement taking place in Latin America the Neo-Menos movement against femicide. So I think the time's up for this issue. People have had enough.
I'll ask you in just a second what you want to achieve exactly. But just on the point, not in the UK, but here, you may have some people say, protest, draw attention to it, demonstrate, because things need to change. The only caveat some people have is, I wonder, is it wise in a level 5 lockdown to bring people together? Does it not contravene public health guidelines?
I absolutely understand that, and I'm aware of the, you know, pandemic, obviously, like everybody is. But we believe that this is a very reasonable excuse for people to leave their homes. We anticipate that the protests will be small because we understand the travel restrictions people have. We also, they will be socially distant. We're asking everyone to wear masks.
And stay within the 5K?
And, well, that's up to people themselves.
As an organiser, Ruth, are you telling people, don't breach the 5K restriction?
What we're saying to people is to adhere to whatever they believe themselves. I would just say this. We've had this pandemic for a year. During that time, protest has been banned. Does anybody think it's reasonable that we could see for another year potentially, until this vaccination is completely rolled out, that essential protests will be banned? For example,
but what about, for example, anti-lockdown protests, and there are more being planned? Do you think that that type of a protest is equally okay?
I think it's a bit different when people organise small socially distant protests that will have facial coverings and which adhere to the fact that there is a pandemic and which don't deny that there is. The type of protests that I've taken part on have been with Debenhams workers who, on their picket lines, some small protests on the mother and baby homes. But, you know, this is a severe restriction on people, and I believe that there isn't a danger if it's in a wide open street, like O'Connell Street is, and the numbers are small, and people are masked.
But you're not
outdoors.
Giving people a direction to stay within the 5K limit, which is one of the public health guidelines.
What we say is that people should follow all public health guidelines, but I'm not going to tell somebody. I'm coming from outside the 5K. I live in Blanchardstown. So obviously I'm going to be breaching it. And I think that that's up to people themselves to decide. But I think that there should have been a derogation for essential protests in this legislation. Sorry?
You risk a fine, don't you?
Well, if the Gardaí choose to enforce it. Now, thus far, the Gardaí have chosen to take a vigilant, you know, watchful attitude and haven't actually banned any protests because it is a very important human and civil right. And as long as people are adhering to safety measures, not staying too long. But it is important that we have the right to make a political point that the government has taken no action on this issue. It is not a political priority, despite it being a huge problem for women, for LGBT people, for non-gender conforming people, trans people as well. Mm-hmm. And yet, it is not in any way at the top of the government agenda. Nothing has happened since we highlighted this after the Cork trial, for example.
Okay, and just very briefly, in a word, do you expect or do you know if your TD colleagues on the left in Solidarity or People Before Profit will attend the vigil or the protest as well?
I've no idea. I have absolutely no idea, but obviously they're more than welcome to attend, and as is any other TD who thinks that gender-based violence is a very important issue.
Okay, Ruth Coppinger, thank you very much indeed for joining us in the programme this evening.